and welcome to another episode of the Roach Coach Podcast, the journey into the new metal canon. My name is Lauren Kozlowski. With me, as always, the Indigo Angel, Jennifer Bloomer.
Hello.
And the original Roach Rider, Mr. Matt Noz.
Keep him rolling, baby.
There we go. Today, we have quite an episode for you guys as we... this has been a heavily requested album. People have wanted us to hear it, and we have heard it indeed. It is the third album from Vanilla Ice and his attempt to roll into the new metal world and take it by storm.
Mm-hmm.
And he was accompanied by the Angel, Ross Robinson.
Yeah, who better to usher you in?
Yeah, right? But before we get to that, we've always got to see... Who's tweeting?
Who is?
And today we had so many messages coming to us about Sepultura and about Soulfly and a bunch of different things. One of my favorite things that came over to us was listener Ben creating the hashtag #WeArePaulo. which is so true.
Solidarity
with Paulo. Also, listener Lars, he said, unpopular opinion, but Sepultura Against is his favorite Sepultura album.
Hey, that's cool.
And so listener Mads, M-A-D-S, rolled in and asked him in a different language what he meant. And thankfully we had...
Facebook Translate.
Yeah. And it said, explain to me why, Lars. I've heard that before, amazingly. Which I'm sure that's exactly how it was in the original language. And Lars responded to him and said, I like the fact that they're not just doing Roots Part 2 and instead are trying something in a different vein. I think the songwriting is diverse, yet on point, and Derek brings a whole new set of skills and range to the table.
Hey.
There we go.
All right.
Good facts backing up that point.
Yeah, that's strong. Jenny, we got a message from Alan Smock, listener Alan.
We did. Alan Smock says, hello again, Roach Coach. I'm officially caught up on all of the episodes and a diehard Roach Rider now. Thank you.
Thank you.
I had another flash of a band I'd forgotten existed, Darwin's Waiting Room. I never heard of them on the radio, only knew they existed because I heard of them on a copy of a friend's Ozfest 2001 sampler CD. He sent me an MP3 of Feel So Stupid that I listened to a lot on Real Player.
Oh, wow. This is a real throwback.
I know. Real Player had a sheep visualization, and I thought it was funny. I thought a sheep dancing to metal was pretty funny. To get the true 1998 to 2002 nu metal experience, the Kreisgau Challenge should really include listening to the album while watching Real Player visualizations.
What a twist on the Kreisgau Challenge.
I don't disagree. I'm going to have to look and see if we can... I mean,
you are
definitely adding another at least hour of work.
This is true.
To our lives, but... it might help sometimes to be listening to these. And
you know what? I think I don't know if it's necessarily if we can find a real player, but I mean some sort of visualizer. I feel like that's still something that somebody does, right?
I'm sure. Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And yeah. I'm sorry. He had more.
Oh yes. I digress. What is important is I've recently listened to their album Orphan, the only one album before splitting up, and can attest that it is nu metal as fuck, but respectful of your time and should be considered for the nu metal canon. Check out their MC's nu metal hands in their video.
Thank you, Alan.
All right.
I can tell you that this was a recent big thrift for me. So we'll definitely do this one soon. Listener Caleb, always love to hear from Caleb, messaged us and said, is Short Bus, Title of Record, or Filters the Amalgamate possible albums for the show? Sadly, no. I love them all, but it is not nu metal.
All right.
Just wanted to clear that up.
That is settled.
Yep. And listener Brad Hicks. We talk about him a lot.
Brad Hicks.
We love him.
We love him. He posted on our wall. She tweeted at us a screenshot of Googling how long a podcast should be.
Okay, Brad.
And they highly recommend that they are no longer than 1 hour and that the sweet spot seems to be 30 to 45 minutes. You know what? Maybe for some podcasts, but when you're talking about Max Cavalera's book and his album, you're going to need two hours.
You got to go long, baby.
You're going to need 2 hours.
Also, I'm just going to say it.
Uh-huh.
You listening, Brad.
Yeah.
You're listening, Pat.
You're listening.
So,
yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay. We'll keep it in mind. You know, you can't control. Listen, you think like, oh, this is going to be a tight 30. And then you're like, wait, they buried the tapes? You know, and then you got to spend time on that. Jenny, did you have anything else?
No.
Nope. Okay, that's it for Who's Tweeting. Keep on tweeting us at Roach Coach on Twitter and saying hi on Facebook and email. The album of the week, Vanilla Ice, Hard to Swallow.
Mm-hmm.
Jenny, when did this album come out?
Oh, this album came out on a cool October 20th, 1998.
Oh, yeah.
There we go. It was nice. I was cool outside.
Just in time for Halloween.
Grab some buddies.
Yeah.
Listen to New Vanilla Ice album.
New Vanilla Ice.
Yeah.
Jenny, any past with this album or Vanilla Ice?
I mean, I think I had like the typical. So I'm 32. I was born in 1984. Just in case anybody is wondering about my age.
Mm-hmm.
So I had like the typical like suburban kid experiencing Ice Ice Baby. And I do remember, I mean, this came out October 20th, 1998. I think it's safe to say that's in the thick of it.
Yep.
So I do.
Actually, no, that would be getting the party started.
That's getting the party started.
Getting the party started.
Well, which is surprising. I thought this had come out later. And he got this out prior to, like, this is just a couple months after Follow the Leader.
I feel like this, this must have come to my attention in the thick of it because I remember thinking that it was kind of cool. I can't remember if it was a secret or not, but I remember thinking that like the nu metal cover of Ice Ice Baby was cool. I can't say for sure if I like divulged that information or not to anybody around me, but I do remember thinking it was cool. But knowing that it wasn't cool to think that.
Right.
And then, like, more history with this. I watched Rob Van Winkle on The Surreal Life.
Oh.
And I think that was around 2004 or
okay.
so.
Okay.
But, yeah, that's about it. How about you?
So, I never really listened to Vanilla Ice when he was popular, you know, for just being Vanilla Ice in his first incarnation. Obviously, I saw Ninja Turtles 2 when he showed up in that.
Oh, that's right.
And I was aware of him from that. But beyond that, he really wasn't anybody in my radar. When this album came out, though, I was very aware of it because I saw his Behind the Music, which ended with, you know, basically Ice is now going to be a nu metal guy.
That's right.
And everyone being like, get ready. He's about to take over.
Yeah.
So I was very aware of that. And I knew it was produced by the guy who did, I was like, the Limp Bizkit. I knew that. He's like, he's the Limp Bizkit guy. I couldn't believe it. And I think I mentioned before, my dad used to get a magazine called Stereo Review, which was a very like old school, like they had record reviews in it. And they were always like, anything new would get like a thumbs down. And then like any Queensryche record was like 5 stars, got to own it. And they did a grid rating system, this one issue, just this one issue. And they listed all these albums that had come out in like the past, like, I don't know, 6 to 8 months, rock albums. And it would be like, does this album rock? Yes or no. Does it really rock? Does it really, really rock? And I remember there was a King's X album in there that was like 100% really rocks. And I was like, really? No, okay. And then Korn's Follow the Leader was in there, and it had, does it rock? It had got a yes. Does it really rock? No. Does it really rock? No. And then the very bottom of the list is like Vanilla Ice, Hard to Swallow. And they had just written no with like 12 O's and 10 exclamation points all across the bottom. And I was like, whoa, taking a hard stance on that one.
Yeah.
So yeah, I did not seek it out beyond just being aware of it at the time, and I know I was not an album that I ever knew anyone owning. I do own it now.
Yes, you do.
It was a big thrift.
It was.
Looks
like we got this from Second and Charles.
Yes.
For the hot price of $4.25.
Yes.
The album cover is some shitty looking roses. In the Vanilla Ice logo,
it's a bad logo because it's unreadable.
Yeah,
like much of the liner notes.
Yeah, it looks like it says Vice.
Yeah,
right. When I first read it, I was like, Vice.
Yeah, Vanilla Ice. And then it's just like two naked women. Well, one naked woman mirrored.
Yeah.
Who appears to only have the whites of her eyes. And she looks like she's choking. Perhaps because something is...
Oh, see, I thought she was
swallow.
I thought, oh, that's good. Okay, I thought she was screaming, but your choking thing makes more
sense.
She
might. I mean, she might. Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows what she's doing?
Mm-hmm.
The inside. There are no pages to this.
No.
It's just a sheet folded in half, which thank yous that are not legible.
No.
And a bunch of weird pictures. One of Vanilla Ice feeding a child with what appears to be a straw. Vanilla Ice posing with a Gummo poster. Vanilla Ice posing with a person who has passed out's butt crack.
Yeah.
This
had a lot of fun making this album, I think,
yeah.
is what I'm supposed to get from these pictures.
I was like, are all these things hard to swallow? Because the baby doesn't look like it's enjoying the food.
Right.
Gummo is a tough film to watch.
Right.
And I guess you wouldn't want to swallow a stranger's butt crack.
No.
Probably.
Yeah. There is a... The thing is, I don't really know. Like, they were just like, what do you want for your album art? It's like...
it's like, whatever.
Naked screaming woman with no eyeballs. Okay. Done. Matt, any past history with Vanilla Ice, hard to swallow?
Yeah. This came into the record store.
Okay.
Was immediately put on so we could make fun of it as fast as humanly possible.
Oh, wow. Oh.
Because we were so cool, guys. We were so cool. I mean, we were there listening to our Brit pop and our industrial. So
you guys like, turn off the Stone Roses for a second. Let's dig into the ice.
Yeah, don't get me started on that second Stone Roses record.
Oh, well,
it's
no
a piece
one,
of garbage.
It's pretty bad.
that first one, classic.
There you go.
But yeah, like, had to listen to Ice. We got it. We got it as a promo because it's on Uni. We took a listen. We didn't like it. And then we all saw that there was Ice Ice Baby. And we were like, what? This can't be the same. And then we listened to it, and it was the same, and we were like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
also, my brother saw Vanilla Ice, En Vogue, and MC Hammer in concert together when he was originally big.
Oh.
Wow.
Oh, that reminds me. My friend Jess, when I told her we were doing it for the show, she's like, oh, yeah, love this album. And I was like, I beg your pardon? And she's like, oh, yeah. She's like, I bought this album. I loved it. And I saw him in concert. And I was like, oh, where did he play? And she's like, I saw him at Harpo's. And I was like, what? And I was like, what was it like? And she's like, great. That was it. That's all she could remember, is that she had an incredible time.
Huh.
So, because I did find a YouTube video of some of those concerts, and
for anybody not in the region, Harpo's is a legendary rock club in Detroit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's sketchy as hell.
It's super sketchy.
They never have heat.
Nope. Check the Yelp page.
The stage
for
is
that.
Like 10 feet higher from the floor, so if you jump, fucking pray.
But I can guarantee Slayer's playing there right now.
Well, I mean, Max Cavalera played there in October. Yeah. I mean, you know, they're still getting people to show up. I got a message from our good friend Josh Toomey of the Talk Toomey podcast, and he recommended that I listen to the episode that he did where he interviewed Sonny Mayo, who was Snot's guitarist and also played on Hard to Swallow. And he said there's some interesting tidbits that he talks about in the making of this album. And apparently, they wrote all the music for this album in 7 days.
Shows.
Okay.
Without Vanilla Ice.
Shows.
And the Vanilla Ice rolled in. But the interesting thing is, on the wiki, when they talk about why Ross Robinson did it, they make it seem like Ross Robinson was approached by Vanilla Ice or something like that, and that they bonded over motocross.
Yeah.
But Sonny Mayo's like, they were doing pre-production on an Amen record, the band Amen, and which Ross Robinson was not making very much money on, and then they came in and said, hey, we want you to produce Vanilla Ice. Here's a whole lot of money to do that. And so he basically was just like, hey, Amen, want to help me write the Vanilla Ice record? And they all said, sure. So I really think it's a timing thing, because think about all the albums that Ross was producing around that time. If, like, move that a couple months, he's in the studio with Slipknot. Hey, Slipknot, you want to help me write the Vanilla Ice album? You know?
Oh my God. Only if he comes in and headbutts us. As many times as our number is, and maybe.
Why am I 8?
Maybe if they had, like, said, do you want to work with Pick and Scabs? They would have been more likely to do it because Pick and Scabs was Vanilla Ice's grunge band.
Oh.
when was
he in that?
Pick and Scabs was, I don't know. It was just like right before. It was like when he was like, because he went through a whole phase where he was just doing like straight up hip hop stuff. And right. he gave this whole like backstory about how he was from like this super poor area and was like doing all this stuff. It turns out that was like all a complete lie.
Oh.
Then after his like hip hop career started to kind of fizzle out a little bit, he tried to like transition into being kind of, it was like a grunge band is what he said. But he wanted to perform more hip hop influenced music, but the band didn't know how to play the sound he was looking for. That was Pick and Scabs. I didn't quite get it. I think that was when his dreads started.
Okay.
I believe his dreads were gone by the time we get to this. Oh, he's hard to swallow.
He's doing a bleach blonde.
He's doing an Eminem.
Yes. Yeah, he's doing an Eminem.
But before,
is that called a Caesar cut?
Yeah, he's doing a Caesar cut. And in 98, 99 Caesar cuts because of ER. We're everywhere.
Yeah.
You're right.
I didn't think ER was going to come up on this podcast ever. But
the Clooney came
out. Yeah,
undeniable. Undeniable Clunes.
Yeah. So, so Ross Robinson produced it. Yeah. So, Jenny, who played on this album?
On this album, we have Vanilla Ice on lead vocals, Shannon Larkin on drums, Sonny Mayo on guitar, Doug Ardito and Scott Borland on bass, Scott Borland on keyboards, and DJ Swamp on scratches.
Yes.
Then we have Casey Chaos, who does guest vocals on ADD and Fuck Me, and Insane Poetry, C-Note, Jimmy Pop, Ollie, and Too Hype, just kind of smattered throughout.
Yeah. So we have a West connection. His brother is playing on this album.
Yeah. Scott. Well, you know what, man? I didn't realize the whole... I didn't listen to that Sonny Mayo episode, which I should have, but I did not. But yeah, that makes so much more sense. Yeah. They're just like, here's a bunch of money.
Yeah, because I was like... You know, and I mean, I think there's a thing that Ross said, something to the effect of like, doing this album, you know, is like... You know, this is such a punk rock move, and people had told him not to do it. And, oh, here it is. People kept saying to me, it might hurt your name, it might hurt your reputation. And I said, that I'm doing it. It's the most punk rock thing you could do. And the Vanilla Ice stated, it's unbelievable how this whole thing just came about. I really believe it was an action of God.
Oh, yeah.
God pushing my wave and riding it, and Ross is one of those people, and Monty is one of those people that God put in front of me, and I'm being blessed right now. So what happened was that God reached out of the sky, and he touched Monty, and he said, write Ross Robinson a check. My will be done.
Hey, I think there might be a whole bunch of money in this. Typical God statement.
I know. God was like, hear me out. I'd like to listen to a song called The Horny Song. You think you could work with Ross Robinson to make it happen? I mean, if you want. That's my God impression.
I am an omnipotent being.
Hey, what about all this famine over here? Hold on, I'm working on the Vanilla Ice new metal album.
I'll tell you what, never too hungry to be horny, right? The horny song.
Could you, just for me, the savior of the universe?
Yeah, when they were writing it, they were just like thunderclaps.
I approve. No.
Thank you. Thank me.
Thank you. Thank me.
Finally, the horny song exists.
I did it indirectly.
I like that. Yeah, God's songs have to come through Vanilla Ice.
When I gave you Ice Ice Baby on those stone tablets.
Yep, that was the 11th commandment. Yeah. We didn't get to it.
Stop, collaborate, and listen.
Yeah.
Commandment number 11.
Maybe it melted away. Whoa. We should probably start listening to this.
Yeah,
huh?
We probably should.
All right. First song on the album is called Living. Yeah. Man's face.
Woo! Yeah. So
they were like, hey, you know what song I love? My Name is Mud by Primus. So if you can just give me that drum beat, I'll take care of the rest.
So I like the riff that opens, but I'm going to be honest. So right away, I am aware I've got a lot of slack, or I got a lot of shit for what I said about the drums on the 311 album. Which, I mean, really, when you break it down, is the least of that band's problems.
True.
And I think it was... I think I went in too hard at the drummer when I really had an issue with the production and the decision. And so listening to this album, I was like, okay, we all know how Ross treats his drummers.
Oh.
He wants precision. He wants perfection.
Yep.
And I believe there's even a quote from Shannon Larkin that he said that Ross really went at him.
Oh, yeah.
On these drums. Do you have it?
Yep. He says, I'm proud of that one. That was a killer record. Ross Robinson is very demanding when it comes to drums in the studio. Everything had to be 110% for that guy, and I love him for that.
Yeah. So I read that. I listen to this album, and I'm like, okay, Shannon's there with the drums, but the drum sound and the decision to just be so sort of... It's not a hard
snap. It's flat.
It's like he's doing like 311 drumming, really. He's just doing sort of like a chill drum when I'm thinking this needs like a hard snap. This needs like an Igor or a John Otto or somebody on there to just, you know, just, I don't know. What I'm trying to say is that it should be harder drums. And for some reason, they're not heavy drums on this thing.
Yeah. I think that the drums were just kind of the least of my problems with this. I was just like, I kept feeling like we were gonna get somewhere, and we never did.
It doesn't have a big drop. It has this patois chorus for some reason. It also, so I mean, we're gonna be dealing with him the whole album, but like Vanilla Ice as a rapper,
we are gonna be dealing with him the whole album.
Yeah. So
hard to break new ground on Vanilla Ice as a rapper.
Right. I mean, here's the thing, I guess, was like, is he worse, the same, or better than Fred Durst?
Oh, you're baiting me here.
I'm like, I'm just throwing it out there because that's your most obvious, like who, if anyone, he's not trying to sound like, or like, who's he trying to echo? I mean, who? Here's the thing: if it was Korn and Deftones, which is two bands that he cited as an influence from this album, if you've got them, okay, sure. But like, when you have Fred Durst in the mix, like, you know, that's got to prick up, you know, Vanilla Ice's ears, and he goes, okay.
Well, you know, he said though, because that came up when he was talking about this album. He said that he had never really listened to Korn or Limp Bizkit.
Okay.
And that the only reason it sounds like that at all is because they were working with the same producer, and that he'd listened to more Deftones than anything, but that he wasn't super familiar with Limp Bizkit or Korn. Because I definitely kind of drew, I don't know. I mean, I compared this to Limp Bizkit. I get a lot of shit because I don't think Fred's a good rapper. I mean, geez, everybody thought that he really brought it on that Soulfly song.
Oh, yeah, we didn't even get to those comments.
Yeah, I got a lot of respectful disagreement about that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't mind. I just, like, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I mean, the first time I listened to this album, I sent Lauren a text, and I was like, hot take. Is Vanilla Ice a better rapper than Fred? And I think the answer is they're both just not great rappers.
Oh,
and
wow.
That doesn't mean...
So they're the same is what you're saying.
No, they're different. I think that Fred is more real.
Okay.
But I mean, like, I also read a bunch of articles about how Vanilla Ice is actually, like, a great rapper. And you know what? I don't know a ton about hip hop. So maybe I just don't know what I'm talking about. I'm willing to, but I think that they both sound like nerds, and I'm sure that people hate that. But
because I just look at, you know how it is where it's just like you can look at like a Jay-Z lyric or a Nas lyric, you just look at it on a piece of paper, and you're like, that's good, that's good. Like I'm on board with that just reading it. And then I'm on songmeanings.com, and I'm looking at it, and I've got this line: lyrics might be simplistic, but I'm no simp on the strip because I know how to pimp it. Now I got a grip and suckers keep sinking in my quicksand, Vanilla Ice, vocal hitman. And I'm like, that's not that great. That's
well,
not that great.
You know who had a lot to say about this song?
Who?
No one at songmeanings.com. There are zero comments on every single track.
Whoa!
Not a single track.
Not a single track has one.
Shortest episode ever.
We have no songmeanings.com to go to for
we
this.
Might make that Brad Hicks.
Yeah.
Well, we're already past his sweet spot, I think.
We are,
but
yeah.
Like, yeah. I don't know. I just think that this song was not great.
Yeah.
Pit's not activated.
No, definitely not a pit activator. Okay, second track, Scars.
All right.
I like this crunch.
A little better.
See, I want these drums to, like, hit. You know what I mean? And I feel like they're bouncing. You know? This drum tune is just killing me.
Life sucks, too much pain. I can't explain why I wanna blast brains. Still, I see it on the other side. Got a new baby, wanna stay alive. Give what I give, and I give what I got. Make it worth
my Matt's upset.
Matt. Oh, Matt.
They always got pain. I break the chain, refuse to be the same. Mother! Good as you could. After all the abuse, I still understood. 3 times divorced and 3 times a kid. Gave us more love than a father ever did. Now we've all grown and moved along. I tried to forget, but my brother did me wrong. But it's hard to put it all behind me. It's like a tattoo frozen in a memory.
Everything takes too long.
Yeah, it's surprised.
It's so slow.
Yeah, that's the thing that really surprised me. Now, if you go to 229, there's some cool riffing that happens. But yeah, I mean, when you, yeah, I like this, but you gotta get to like halfway through the song to get to it.
Yeah.
Can he scream?
He does a little bit.
He does a little bit. I mean, honestly. I mean, we're only 2 tracks in. I'm going to be honest. I rolled into this thing thinking it was going to be a catastrophe. It was fine.
Yeah, compared to some of the stuff we've listened to.
Yeah, for sure.
It's not that bad. It's just not great.
No.
Especially listening to it now, I forgot how much it takes forever to get into anything.
Because mm-hmm.
The first time I listened to it, that was my impression. Was it takes 18 years to get to anything in any of these songs. But like you said, like at 229 in this, that actually was pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Like that's cool. It just takes so long to get there.
Yeah.
Like why would you go on that trip? It's like driving out of your way to see something that's like, oh, tourist attraction.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like the fucking mystery spot where it's like, oh, it's a house built in a weird way on a hill. And
yeah.
It's like, okay. Well, I guess I gotta turn around, because exiting these songs is another like fucking 2.5 minutes on your way out of slowness.
I mean, I guess the thing is also is that it seems like this album is sequenced weird. Yeah. Like, there's a lot of heavy, fast songs on the second half. And the first half are these, like... Yeah, like, I'm a little surprised that they didn't put the Ice Ice Baby, like, redo or what have you.
Too Cold.
Sooner. It's tucked in the middle.
For as much shit was talked about how this was going to be his big comeback, and how this was going to be his, like, John Travolta moment in Pulp Fiction. Listening to this, I had the feeling that, like, what I kept thinking was, who actually really truly cares about this album? This album, to me, doesn't have a lot of heart, which is something that he states a lot of facts about his life. He says a lot of things that sound like they would be coming from the heart, but they don't feel that way to me. And I just kind of had, like, the overall impression that, like, this is an album that was, like, delivered with no heart whatsoever. Like, who actually cared about this?
Well, it's funny because going to that Sonny Mayo interview again that on Talk To Me, he said that, you know, Ross was in there and Ross was, like, as committed on that album when he was in the studio as any other album. He's like, he was kicking people. He punched Vanilla Ice in the head. Like, he did all the things that you heard about. So... I don't know.
Well, I mean...
I mean, maybe it's the fact that
they wrote
it...
Punching someone in the head isn't going to make a good album.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, that alone isn't going
to
do it.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing to keep in mind is that Vanilla Ice, if we look at his career in a broad sense... Okay, so there was a video I found on YouTube from MTV from when this album came out, and it was... I think it was probably pitched to MTV as, hey, do a piece on Vanilla Ice's new album. And what they basically did was made a hit piece on him. They basically just slammed him through the whole thing. And just
Kurt Loder came in hard as hell.
Hard as hell. And just basically damned him with his own words. And they point out the fact that this isn't even his first career reinvention, that he tried to be a stoner rapper a couple years prior. That didn't take. So now he's trying to be a nu metal guy. And so part of me wonders if maybe half the problem is that he won't... Matt, you have it. Okay. The problem is that he won't... he doesn't... Oh, here we go.
For those who might have thought they'd heard the last of white rap oddity Vanilla Ice, at least until his upcoming induction into the Fool's Hall of Fame, we have some disturbing news. Not only is the Iceman back, but he's flogging a new album, and he managed to blag his way into the New York punk mecca CBGB recently to promote it. Believe it or not, though, the gig proved to be highly entertaining in a cruel sort of way.
We are aware it's only on one channel.
If there was a problem, yo, I'll solve it. Check out the hook while my DJ revolves it.
Rob Van Winkle, now known for life as Vanilla Ice, says his multi-platinum 1990 album To the Extreme and its chart-topping single Ice Ice Baby made him a millionaire. But did he take the money and run like such long-gone one-shots as Gerardo and Snow? No.
Ooh.
Gerardo was on Celebrity Deathmatch. He's not gone.
There we go.
This isn't the first comeback attempt for Vanilla Ice. He initially reappeared in 1994, sporting a reefer-fueled hardcore pose, much in the manner of such acts as Cypress Hill and Das FX. It was a hard sell, though, because nobody was buying it.
This is me, and this is no image made up or anything. I want to give people...
He's saying, this is me. He's got these dreads.
No mention of picking scabs.
Nope. And so I'm wondering if maybe the problem is that he's... what was the major thing against Vanilla Ice when he first
authenticity.
Started? Authenticity. That was the first thing that he was called on when he came into the game as a white rapper, was that he was lying about who he was and faking, trying to fake it till he made it. So now he's basically on his third iteration of faking it. And so, you're not going to really, like, I guess that's the thing. Now he's going to get... really sincere. Now he's going to give his 110%.
Well, I mean, nobody bought it even for a second. I read a New York Times article that Neil Strauss actually
wrote. Of the game fame?
Of the game fame, yes. Neil Strauss, another guy who has like reinvented his image a few times.
Mm-hmm.
Because now he's like kind of backtracking on a lot of what he said and talking about how he's in this relationship and like what the game is really about. Anyway, Neil Strauss actually... super interesting dude.
Yeah.
Highly suggest like looking into him. But he wrote this piece in 98 And he was talking about basically how Vanilla Ice is back, but is he a poser, more or less? And here's a little piece from it that I thought was interesting. He said, when a photographer approached, he insisted, he being Vanilla Ice, mm-hmm. I don't pose anymore. Then proceeded to strike poses as she snapped. It is a scene emblematic of Vanilla Ice's identity confusion. He insists that he has abandoned all attempts at creating an image and is only interested in music. Yet in some ways, he's still just playing another character. The real Vanilla Ice is probably somewhere between the boastful faux rapper of To the Extreme and the troubled faux punk of Hard to Swallow. On the outside, he seems like a fraternity jock. On the inside, he's a self-described hypochondriac with attention deficit disorder, anxiety, and intimacy problems. And then he goes into being afraid to go back to California because of Suge Knight. For those of you who don't know, there's
a long classic rumor of Suge Knight
holding him over a balcony for some royalties for Ice Ice Baby that one of Suge Knight's family members had worked on. They did settle. Suge Knight denies the allegations.
That's a pretty good take on it, yeah. Because I just remember now, do you guys remember when MTV did their countdown of like the worst music videos of all time?
Yep. Oh my God. Yeah. I will never forget that.
Yeah. So I watched that. I remember I watched, I think I was like sick from school or something, but I ended up watching the whole thing. And obviously this is like pre like internet, whatever. So I'm watching it.
Huge
and
mistake.
Then,
Room has Janine Garofalo in it.
Dennis Leary.
It has Jon Stewart.
Yeah.
And one or two more?
I feel like there's like one other person, but we can't remember. But those are the main people to be aware of in the room. And so they're watching music videos, and these are the worst ones. And so they're making fun of each one. So it's like they're...
Chris Kattan.
Is it Chris Kattan?
I believe it's Chris Kattan.
He is on Dancing with the Stars this
is
season.
Is he now? So. Oh, well, good for Chris. Anyway, a cavalcade of 90s comedians, all in there making fun of music videos. They get to, and then I guess the thing is that the top 10 or top 5 are like going, they're going to destroy the master tapes or something.
Oh, I
like
do
that.
Remember that. Yeah.
So one of them, never see them again. One of them is Vanilla Ice's Ice Ice Baby video, which was deemed like one of the worst videos, which is not even close to being the worst video ever.
No.
Made. Like it's
no.
They're basically more dissing like the songs than the videos.
Big time.
And so they bring him in, and he's got the Caesar cut. He's in full Hard to Swallow promo mode. And they watch the video with him, and you can tell they've been going hard on all these videos the whole show. Vanilla Ice is there, and they really can't say anything bad. And I remember at one point they're like, oh yeah, who's the little kid like dancing on your shoulders? And they're like, oh, that was like a family friend. They came down to the shoot, so you know, we put him in the video. And it's like, oh, that's a nice thing. And so then they're like, well, we're supposed to destroy the video. You have it?
It was Chris Kattan.
Is it Chris Kattan?
Thank
yes.
God.
It was Janine Catch Garofalo, Chris Kattan. Dennis Leary, Jon Stewart and Chris Kattan.
Wow.
Catch him every Monday night Dancing with the Stars on ABC.
Yeah, and so he they go to break it, and Vanilla Ice is like, well, I guess we got to do this, you know, the whole Hard to Swallow image. Something. Oh, is it on YouTube? Of course it's on YouTube.
It's not going to play. It's so visual.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, check it out. And now that we've figured out how to use YouTube, you know, we're able to find these clips. We don't need to ask everybody to find them for us anymore.
I appreciate you guys helping us figure these things out in the interim.
But yeah, and then Vanilla Ice proceeds to break the video and destroy the entire set.
Yes. With a baseball bat.
My God.
And it's one of those things where it's like, was he mad because he realized he was being made fun of? Or was he trying to double down, and he doubled down too much?
I remember thinking that was so uncool. And mm-hmm. at the time, I like humped my parents' couch cushions all the time. And I just remember thinking that was uncool.
That guy's very uncool.
But I was like an awkward teenage girl who was like, no, hey guys, I carry around a hairbrush in my pocket and help household items. But even I knew, I was like, it's not real aggression.
Oh, so you thought it was fake aggression.
I just thought, I was like, you're a nerd. Even at that time, barrel bangs and all.
Jenny, when do you think the first time in your life you were like, that person's a nerd? Were you?
It was probably me looking in the mirror, Lauren. I remember the first time I felt like I looked cool but knew I was a nerd.
Uh-huh.
And it was probably fourth or fifth grade. And
okay.
I was wearing Winnie the Pooh overalls, with an Eeyore like half shirt underneath them.
In fifth grade?
Yeah, fourth or fifth grade.
Okay.
Yeah, dude. Look, I know. I remember thinking that I looked hot as hell, and then I was like, "No, dude, you're wearing Winnie the Pooh stuff." And it was a real. It was a weird. I was of two minds. So now we know that about me.
You know what? I have one of those too. Real quick.
Yeah.
My mom bought me a bunch of matching t-shirts, shorts combos when I was in fifth grade, sixth grade, and I thought they were great. Like, who wouldn't want the shirt to match the shorts, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So it was a purple shirt with purple shorts. Seemed fine.
Oh, did you look like Grimace?
I got Grimace and I got Barney.
Okay. And, I guess it depends on the shirt.
And I remember just rolling in and being like, oh, wait, what? And that was like this realization that like none of my elementary school clothing could make that middle school transition. I remember I went home like, we have to get all new clothes. Like, I can't wear any of these.
Yeah.
And my mother said, you should have told me yesterday. Like, this, I could have saved you from this whole situation.
Maybe that's
like,
what happened to Vanilla Ice. I mean, this is a total... Mm-hmm. Listen, there's no way that he didn't realize in some ways that this wasn't going well.
Yeah.
And he was probably just like, fuck, I thought I looked so cool, but I know I'm a nerd.
Mm.
I better go destroy this tape in front of Chris Kattan.
And then just keep going.
Just keep going.
Just keep going.
Forever and ever. So up next,
yeah,
we have Ecstasy... goes right into Fuck Me.
Nine-second interlude.
Yeah.
Okay. Here we go. Let's make some weird noises. This is very early Korn sounding here, you know?
This does feature Casey Chaos. This is the coolest song we've heard so far, I think.
This one has more of a groove to the riff, yeah. Sucked up in this melody, and they be the ones giving it down, backstabbing up at the jealousy. They telling white lies, now realize I caught it from the jump, and I can see it in your eyes. Here we go, Matt. All right. Yes.
Isn't that cool?
I don't know if my eyes can roll hard enough.
Oh, man.
Hey.
It's I like
keep
the line.
Trying.
Fuck you, you whack bastard.
I do like whack bastard.
You whack bastard.
You whack bastard.
You whack bastard.
I do like you whack bastard. Yeah, but just generally.
I like this one.
Did you?
I did.
Okay.
I kind of like this one. It's one of those ones where it's like, I guess I like it in that sort of like. It's sort of just like so goofy in the attempt to be like because he comes in and he's like, fuck you. I'm like, oh, that's aggressive. That's an aggressive hook. And then it's like, fuck you. There ain't nothing you can do, you whack bastard. And I was like, oh, you sort of walk that back a little bit.
I don't know. I thought whack bastard was kind of cool. I don't have a reason for it. It's just a feeling.
So
that was Ecstasy and a Fuck You.
All right. Then we have like they were like that interlude went so well. Let's do it again.
Yeah, let's get Valley of Tears into
Little
zigzag
doubt
stories.
That behind these words there is still the longing to know God and to find protection in this Valley of Tears or this lousy stinking world.
See if you can figure out what Zigzag Stories is about.
Yeah.
Matt looks like he's gonna ground Vanilla Ice.
It's about him smoking a fat blunt.
You know what I love about this song is it's like it's got this funky groove, but it also has this intended menace. Like, you know what's really dangerous? Weed.
So when we did Methods of Mayhem,
yeah,
making fun of it was almost fun.
Yeah.
I don't feel like it's fun to make fun of this album.
Either we're in too deep at this point.
Right. We're in too deep at this genre.
This
or,
isn't as funny.
You know what? I think what it is. Okay, I do like this riff, by the way. On the chorus.
But it sounds like this was recorded in a swamp, right?
Indigo Swamp.
Indigo Swamp. I mean, it was recorded at the Indigo Ranch. See, I like this. That's cool.
This could be worse.
Could be worse.
You know, I guess the thing with... So, okay. So, I've got a lot to say about this, and I do want to talk about what you're saying. So, pause this for a quick second.
Well, we get... you don't want to get into the whole, like, badass bitch creeping on?
That's what I do want to talk about. But great. Because we're talking about, you know, this versus Methods of Mayhem. Because I feel like you, Matt, maybe are getting a Methods of Mayhem vibe.
I'm kind of like, we've got an outsider.
Yes.
Like, Vanilla Ice is kind of like the perfect outsider in a way, because Ice Baby hit plenty of authenticity jabs at him. He didn't write the song. He stole it from Queen, but he still was there, like, saying, like, no, they did this, and, like, just ridiculous.
Right.
Made a boatload of cash off of it.
Said he was, like, one of the most influential rappers because he brought rap to a bunch of people who never would have heard it.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, so now he's jumping into what seems to be the taste of the day with new metal. But he's not... there isn't a song on here so far that I would be like... that Ice Ice Baby, make fun of it all you want.
Mm-hmm.
People still like Ice Ice Baby.
Yes.
Yes.
This is true.
I'll tell you what I think the difference is. Stakes and authenticity. There were no stakes that Methods of Mayhem album whatsoever. Tommy Lee had nothing to gain or lose doing that. There were not... He tried to be like a little deep occasionally, but there was nothing about it where he was like, no, this is truly who I am. Now you're really seeing me.
Yeah.
No, this was it definitely just like, felt like, I'm having fun in the studio.
I'm just
with
doing
my
this thing with my friends and whatever. Here we go. And then this is like Vanilla Ice being like, no, this is really who I am, guys. This is real as fuck. Like, it's like one of those, like, hello, fellow kids.
Yes. Yeah. You guys like rock and roll music?
We do, Mr. Ice. It sounds similarly, but the intention behind it is completely different. And I think that's why this is less fun.
Yeah, this feels like fake paycheck. Like, I'm going after the paycheck.
Well, you know, he was 29 when they made this.
Really?
Really?
Yeah. 29. And that made me feel for him a bit.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Like, That actually puts a lot of perspective on it.
Yeah.
Because that means that when, like, Ice Ice Baby hit, he was a baby.
He was an Ice Ice Baby.
He was an Ice Ice Baby. Well, I guess that's the thought is you're also having this thought of, like, you're like, oh, my God, I peaked, and I was not even 22.
I was 20.
Yeah. And so I was just having a conversation with somebody recently about that. It's like that constant sort of, like, the pressure we all put on ourselves of, like, how old am I? Have I done enough? So imagine you were at one point the biggest... He was at one point, like, what? Like, the biggest selling album in the world?
It was Hammer.
Like, him and Hammer. He was one of the biggest artists in the world. And suddenly, now here he is. And it's like, I've got to keep doing this. It's all I know. Or at least that's what... You know, because the other thing is, he mentions this Monty Lipman guy. And in the interviews and in the liner notes, and he's the guy who, if you watch the behind the music, is like, he's never seen a star of Vanilla Ice's caliber, and he believes that he is this great, great guy. And so when you've got that guy or guys like him around you saying, dude, you've got more in you, go back in, make another album, you know? Because, I mean, that's... And the other thing, this was on a major. This was not...
Uni put it out.
This was not like some...
Republic, but...
You know,
distributed by Universal.
Yeah. So this was like... This had... You know, they paid Ross Robinson a buttload of money to produce it. So there's that effort there. And I guess, with the... also, like, Tommy Lee's just like a much easier punching bag. You know what I mean? Like, he had actual success for a long period of
time. Tommy Lee... Here's the thing. Tommy Lee knows who the fuck he is.
This is true.
Vanilla Ice doesn't know who he is.
Yeah.
And I think that's still true. I mean, like, what have we seen the dude? We saw the dude do the surreal life.
Yeah.
We saw him do some weird, like, Amish construction video.
Mm-hmm.
He's currently on a tour right now, and I'm just going to tell you this.
Tell me it.
If you want to meet Vanilla Ice and get a copy of his latest CD, guess how much it'll cost you? I told you guys earlier, so you already know it's $50.
It is $50. Yes.
For a meet and greet and a VIP backstage pass. Like, this is I feel like the reason that this feels less fun, and I don't want to beat up on the dude too much other than to say that, like, I'm not really feeling what he's doing here.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't know what he's doing. He doesn't know who he is. He's trying to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't seem like that much of a shithead, honestly.
Here's something I think it's kind of funny, because that's... He needs that partner in crime on this album.
What do you mean?
I mean that he needs to be doing the rapping, but he needs somebody to scream and take over the choruses.
Well, I know he's got... I think Casey Chaos comes in on a later song and gives him a pretty good chorus later on.
Yeah,
but I know
ADD.
What you mean. Like, maybe if he had...
He needs,
had...
like, the Linkin Park type dynamic.
You're right.
He needs a Chester.
He needs a Chester.
He really does, because these choruses are not doing it.
You guys, people, I did. So somebody, I think it was Caleb, had told us to check out Fort Minor.
I think it was Caleb.
The Mike Shinoda solo record. So in a little bit of free time that I found, I listened to some of it. It's worse than this album. So,
you know,
yeah.
I
was like, and now I'm like, what was so bad about it is, yeah, it didn't, there was no respite from Mike Shinoda. It was just all Mike, and he was like, give me a Chester in there.
I'm gonna tell you something that's gonna shock you.
Oh no.
I've heard the Fort Minor album.
Oh yeah.
And I agree with you that it's worse than this. I just thought it'd be shocking that I listened to that on my free time before we ever started doing this, but I did, because I worked at a record store when it came out, and I got a promo.
And so you were like, I'm gonna take this home, get a glass of wine, put on some Fort Minor.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna take this to my parents' house.
Gonna get a sweet
steal bubs. Some of my dad's Jim Beam and listen to this in my dirty ass bedroom.
Okay, going back to Zigzag Stories.
Oh, yes.
So, yes. So, in the second half of the song, so I think it's where you paused it, Matt. Mm-hmm. We have it. You know what? Let's just have Ice tell the Zigzag story.
Yeah.
There's a Zigzag story that I had last night.
I get a little High Plains Drifter from this.
Yeah.
Yes.
The chronic, and what did I see? This badass bitch creeping up on me. She had the look that could get the ice hooked up in a second.
Pictured her undressing and getting butt naked. She
walked up to Rob? Me, said her name was Rob Van Winkle?
Ain't no shame in my game, down to do anything. Took me by the hand and asked me if I like to fly. You know I like to fly.
All right, so I like this. I like this riff on this one. I like that thing that it does. So this verse. So this song is about weed. In case we haven't already,
it's a zigzag story.
It's a zigzag story. So these are songs about weed. So in this second story that he tells, he is smoking weed.
Mm-hmm.
A woman approaches him.
Yes.
A quote-unquote badass bitch.
Sure. She had a look in her eye.
She had a look in her eye that could get Ice cooked up in a second.
Well.
So that
cook
means...
Cook him up. What does that mean? A boner?
I think that means a boner. Okay. I think that's what it means. I've never heard that before.
Me neither.
Cooked
I love
up.
It. No.
Oh, man.
Oh, he was all cooked up.
And then he's like, I pictured her undressing and getting butt naked, which is a very redundant
sentence.
That'll
get you cooked up.
Yeah, right? And also... I don't know why, but this is another one that it's sort of like obviously, like, Vanilla Ice has had sex. Duh. He's got kids.
He's got kids.
He's, yeah. But it's like you read that and it's sort of like, how many women have you seen naked? Like, how many sexual experiences? I mean, it's that line. I know if you were like 12 or 13, you'd be like, oh my God, getting undressed and getting butt naked, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
As an adult, though, it's, yeah,
maybe she was wearing a lot of layers.
Oh,
because the Iceman is so cold,
right?
He's, she got to bundle up.
Yeah, even under all those layers, though, she's still cooking them up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
so she walked up to him. She said her name is
I don't remember.
Mary Jane.
Okay, thanks. Oh, okay. Oh, that's a, I got rid of the lyrics.
Oh, you got rid of the lyrics. We were done. So she walks up. She says her name is Mary Jane. And he's ain't no shame in my game, down to do anything.
Oh.
Took me by the hand, asked me if I'd like to fly. So wait, is she a woman or is she just more weed?
She's more weed. Her name's Mary Jane.
But he was picturing her name. So wait, so he wants to fuck weed?
Doesn't everybody?
I don't know. This is, again, another episode of Dad Lauren.
The first time I listened to this.
I'm telling you, son. People like to fuck weed.
The first time I listened to this song, I'm like, wait.
Why do you think it's called a grinder, son? Because people want to grind up that weed like you grind up the dance floor.
Anyway.
It was just funny to me that he was like, I'm going to. Because the concept of this is that I'm high, I'm in situations where women are approaching me for sex, but also they're actually weed. Like, I don't know.
That's how high ice gets, Lauren.
I guess.
Yeah, maybe. All right. It's like,
You know what? It's a zigzag story.
It's not going to make
any sense. He's living his dreams.
Yeah, right? Yeah, that's right. It probably was a weed dream. I didn't even put that together.
Man, it's all right. Okay. All right.
I kind of like this one, though.
All right. Okay. Up next, Too Cold. Get ready.
Get ready.
Compression filters.
This has a good crunch.
Better than anything else so far.
Yeah.
History with this song.
Oh, okay.
Not this specific song, but I do think it's worth saying that. So I used to listen to Ice Ice Baby with one of my best friends and Indigo Angel Renee.
Yes.
We were in her bedroom in 10th grade dancing to this song, and when he says like a poisonous mushroom, I did what I thought was a sweet move, which was to spread my legs and get low as hell with my hands over my head in the shape of a mushroom. But what I did was completely tear the ass out of my pants.
Yeah.
And we were like, oh my God, oh my God. And her mom sews constantly and still does. And she just ran downstairs and went, Mom, Jenny blew the ass out of her pants. Can you fix it? So I had to like sit in shame on their couch.
Oh, man.
While I let her mom sew up the ass of my, they were capri pants from The Gap.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, just remember that when we were listening to this. That wow. Sucked.
So. This is the thing that I noticed. He's attempting to faith himself.
Yes. Oh, ooh, yeah. Shit. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it took me to like notes, and I was just like, oh my God. And I was like, I'm sure other acts have like covered, like just gone back and redone their own songs and
reimagined
them. But I mean, I remember seeing them, just like, he heard faith and was like, oh shit. I could do that. I mean, here's the thing. This is the one song, or one of the few songs in the album, where I was like, conceptually, it all makes sense. Like, and it's the one that I'm like, yeah, like this, they released this as a single because if anything would have hit. And yeah, it's the thing. It's like, why wouldn't, I mean, I almost feel like if he did this now, he would have like a viral hit. Do you know what I mean?
In
like
a way, because the nostalgia, it's 20 plus years.
Yeah. Like, if anything, this was too soon. Like, if he did this now, Oh, yeah. I'd be like, you hear his back? Vanilla
Shit,
Ice
it's almost 30 years, right? Ice Ice Baby's like 88?
89 or 90. No, I think it's not. I think To the Extreme is 90.
Let's go to the chart.
I'll check.
Check, Jenny.
I'm checking. All right. To the Extreme is 90.
Okay, it's 90. So, yeah. So
it's fast approaching.
It's fast
30.
Approaching 30 years. So, yeah. I mean, maybe just, yeah, he came into it too soon. But now I did know, I don't know if you have this in front of you, Jenny, that this was originally intended to be either a B-side or a bonus track or like a hidden track.
I do not have that in front of me, but that makes sense.
I thought I had read that somewhere, but oh, here it is. It says, Too Cold was originally intended to be released as a hidden track or B-side. And that seems, kind of crazy to me. Like, this is the one of the, it's like the one sure thing on the album.
This should have been track three.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
This is a track three.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
No. Ecstasy Interlude.
I don't know why they went with Ecstasy Interlude.
That's what I'm saying. I just think that nobody really cared about this. I mean, whatever. I love Ross. I think he's an angel. But
yeah.
This is definitely just like a fucking freighter of cash.
But it feels like it feels so muddy. Like everything on this production is like, I'm going to play Faith in comparison. So,
okay.
Just so we can hear it. Just so
All right. We
have us close. So this is Too Cold Still.
Okay.
Yo, I saw that. Check out the hook while my DJ revolves it.
Yeah.
Ice, baby.
Plus, I wanted to hear the chorus.
Okay.
It already sounds so much like lighter
and crisper.
Well, I guess it would be nice.
And his vocals are much more front and center.
Yep.
I know not everybody.
Oh, I know why. I know why. Like pause me. It.
But I gotta think.
So, it wasn't something I think that we brought up on the Soulfly episode. But if you go, once again, we're always going to be talking about Talk To Me. When Josh Toomey interviewed Max Cavalera and talked about making Roots, he said that when they recorded with Ross, the stuff that they had recorded with Ross sounded like, to quote Max, shit. Sounded like shit.
Hmm.
And they had to send it to, I believe, Andy Wallace, the mixer.
Right.
To fix it. And then Andy Wallace made it good. So if you look at the credits for $3 Bill, y'all, Ross's producer, Andy Wallace, mixed it.
Oh.
When you look at Hard to Swallow, producer, Ross Robinson. Mixer, Ross Robinson.
Wow.
Maybe that's it. Ross has a muddy mix, you know? And that might be the whole deal. So, you know, that might be part of it, you know?
Is he an angel with tattered wings?
Listen, no one is perfect. You know,
that is true.
I mean, you know, let's keep in mind Ross also produced that Cold album. So, so there you go.
Listen.
No one's perfect. None of us in this room are perfect.
No.
Maybe he's like one of those like little sparkly guys from Facebook where it's like a fallen angel.
Yeah, he might be.
Can you take me at my worst, but love me at my best? No.
We can, Ross.
Poe Buddy's nerfic.
We can. Totally. I mean, yeah, you did Roots and you did Soulfly.
Poe Buddy's nerfic.
The Ross Robinson story. Hey, the human story.
Is
right?
It true?
Yeah.
Come on.
That's Joseph Campbell's book about the human condition.
Poe Buddy's nerfic.
By Joseph Campbell. Awesome. So let's see. Where are we here?
Prozac
featuring Korn.
That is not true.
Yep.
That is a Wikipedia lie on a level of Spawn soundtrack.
I know.
I mean, the chorus sounds a hell of a lot like Korn.
So maybe it's just like,
stop as I drop this bomb, blow up this place.
Vietnam?
Another Vietnam.
Okay, good.
Let the holy field blow to the dome. Back up, son, now give me room, give me room.
Hold it.
I said it
dome
off like this, don't give it up, huh? I'm all up in you, do you just can't get enough? I'm real hard to the bone, you want more? I sneak up on you like a sniper at your back door.
Pause it. Fat flavor for your... Why would a sniper come to your back door?
Hold it.
A sniper is
a long
distance.
What is this, a cover up?
This is not a cover.
Oh, this is a cover.
Is not a cover.
I don't know.
According to the credits, The only songs that have samples are Snafu, samples The Big Beat by Billy Squier, and Freestyle samples Powerhouse by Raymond Scott.
Are you thinking of a Bloodhound Gang song?
Yes, I am.
All right.
Okay.
Here we go. It looks like this is a Bloodhound Gang song called Boom.
Really?
Yes, it is.
Okay. I don't know if that came before or after. I know that the Bloodhound Gang was somebody who
Jimmy
Papa
Lee is on this album. Record.
Yeah. So you're, oh, wow. So he, what, basically just gave them a song and then they just redid it?
It, I don't know.
What album is Boom on?
I'm not sure. Hold on.
Roach Coach Investigations.
Please hold.
Oh, my God.
Nah.
Okay. So Boom is the song. This is so crazy. Oh, my God. Do you think he knew?
I mean, how could he not?
I mean,
yeah, it's the same fucking lyrics. It's from 1996.
Oh, no. Oh, no. On
One Fierce Beer Coaster.
It's called Boom featuring Vanilla Ice. It's just the same song. Like,
no,
they just,
no. Ice. I remember this because I had One Fierce Beer Coaster.
Okay.
Ice comes in on that track later.
Oh, you're right. It's 2 years old. It's, yeah, One Fierce Beer Coaster is 2 years before this. Okay. Do we have that?
Of course we do.
Okay.
Bloodhound Gang and Rob Van Winkle.
This is classic Bloodhound Gang humor right here.
Still mixed better. By the way, part of me is very happy to be hearing this after all these years.
Yeah, I know you love
them. I know you love them. Well, somebody wanted us to do this band, so now we're listening to them on the show. You're welcome.
Oh, this might still be in my brain, which is why I knew it was Vietnam.
Stop as I drop this bomb, blow up this place like another Vietnam. Heavy like a Tyson blow to the dome.
That is Vanilla Ice, though.
So basically, so Vanilla Ice just took his verse and used it again.
Yeah.
And he updated it from a Tyson blow to a Holyfield blow.
So we went from him covering himself to him covering himself again.
Yeah, wow. Also, interesting connection, executive producer on this album, One Fierce Beer Coaster, one Monty Lipman.
Monty, we see you.
Oh, man. Okay. So, all right. So he did... Can we go? I didn't even put it. I mean, the chorus is obviously very different because it's this corn-sounding chorus. Because I did want to talk about what this chorus says.
Oh, boy. Close, and there'll be no confusion. Now you're addicted to mentally abusing. The mother, I'm here to tear it up. And if you can't get with it, I don't give a fuck. So run to your crew and tell them I'm here. This here is for you people, yo. You ready to leave?
I mean, this sounds like Korn on these guitars here. That's a Korn guitar right there. I mean, I don't believe it's actually Korn. I just think it sounds like
that. I know what you mean.
So, let's talk about this hook. So, we gets crazy like Prozac, hype enough to start a party, and Illy have a heart attack. That's what my lyrics say in front of me. So, I looked up Prozac because I wasn't 100% on what it was.
But, like the drug?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I guess you don't have mental health issues. So, okay.
Sorry.
What'd you find? It's fine.
Good
well, this
you.
Okay. sorry. So
sorry, I'm not a mess like you two.
Yeah, I know. We're just like, what? You don't know what Prozac is?
I don't. I wasn't 100%. The thing was that I was like, it's get crazy like Prozac. I'm thinking like, well, what's a drug that makes you crazy? Like
not Prozac.
That's what I thought. I was like, I'm pretty sure. So Prozac is a depression drug. It's more energizing than other antidepressants, but it isn't good for people who have trouble sleeping. and sexual side effects like low libido and an inability to orgasm or ejaculate.
Well, Vanilla Ice does not have those.
So I'm like, that's a jizz. That's
he is a jizz machine.
Well, I was like, I'm like, that strikes me as a strange, like this crazy, this party's crazy, like Prozac, like no one's coming anywhere.
Oh, hey, you know, wasn't that just like a fucking like. I don't know, some sort of like prophecy for this album. It's crazy, but no one's coming. It's like Prozac.
Oh man. Oh. Yeah. Okay.
I'm glad you investigated Prozac. Yeah.
I knew at the moment. I was like, "What is this?" I'm like, you know, you have that moment, like, "Hey, I looked at myself in the mirror and I realized I was wearing Winnie the Pooh and I'm a nerd." Yeah, I was looking up Prozac while I was doing notes for this, and I went, "This is a pretty nerdy thing to do." So,
oh man,
35, I still got it. All right, next up, what do we got?
Snafu featuring Jimmy Pop Ali. Mm.
Okay, this is the first time the drums have sounded better.
Yes, yes.
Ooh, DJ Swamp.
DJ Swamp.
Here we go. Patience for Mr. Van Winkle is Van Winkle.
Wainy.
Waning.
I just like Situation Normal all fucked up.
Yeah. Is that where Jimmy Pop does the chorus? Or
No, Jimmy Pop does his own verse, which is actually better than Vanilla Ice's verse. And he makes a Cool as Ice reference, because of course he does.
I've seen Cool as Ice.
And yeah?
Yeah.
How is it?
I mean, it's bad. It's
okay.
Funny.
Okay.
He wears a weird jacket, and he says, "Yep, yep."
Yeah, drop that zero and get with the hero.
Yeah, and he also like has some weird like montage of like falling in love with a girl like on a construction site.
Oh,
it's worth watching if you like a bad movie. Yep, yep.
Yep, yep. So, you know, this is another one that I was like, all right, it's upbeat, you know.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, this was like better than most of what we've heard.
Right. Yeah. And I think going back to like the, you know, the difference between this and Methods of Mayhem.
Yeah.
Is those Methods of Mayhem songs, it's really that stakes thing. Like that just, he would roll in with just like, you know, it's a stupid, dumb idea. And then like no one told him no, so he just did it. You know what I mean?
Proposition, and like this, fuck you.
Yeah. Like stuff like that. It was just like, this fucking guy, you know? And like he rolled out of the studio every day just being like, I crushed it. And this, you can tell, this has been, there's a lot of hands here.
This,
you know,
feels like work.
This is a lot as, like here's the thing. The album was written in 7 days. Vanilla Ice rolls in, record his stuff. I guess like he said he worked on it for a month. Whatever that means, but like there is this sort of like effort into it that isn't happening, but it's there. And so, and then he's out here hustling this thing while, you know, Tommy Lee was just like, yeah, like who cares? You know what I mean? I'm trying to quantify this sort of like vibe, but
here's the thing. Yeah. You walk into the studio, there's a beanbag, Tommy Lee's sitting there, dick out. What do you do? You walk into a studio, there's a beanbag, Vanilla Ice is sitting there, dick out. What do you do? One dude, you're just like, all right.
Yeah.
The other dude, you laugh and tell all your friends about immediately.
Yeah, you're right. Because you walk in like, yeah, you're like, yeah, I walked in and Tommy Lee just, yeah, he
that's Tommy Lee. What do you
take
want?
Out on a beanbag.
Yeah, that's
of course he was.
Of course he was, yeah.
You were expecting him to find somewhere.
No.
Find him some other place, like yeah. reading a book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but like yeah. Vanilla Ice dick out on a beanbag. That's just like funny.
That fucking asshole.
I don't know. Maybe yeah. that's not. That's just what came to my mind.
That's no. I think that's a pretty good example. How long is this album?
This album is actually somewhat respectful of our time. Well, it's right on the border. It's 49:46.
Okay, I have to ask you on your listens. Were you ever like, God, please be over, or I can't believe how long it's been, or do I have any tracks left?
Well, yeah, I mean, I felt like, God, please be over. I had to listen to it on a day that I was having, like, a rough day.
Oh, no,
and
yeah.
I was like, well, I have to listen to it. So I was having an emotionally difficult day, and I was just like, oh, great, thanks a lot. Yeah, cool, Zigzag Stories. This is what I want to hear right now. Thanks. So, yes, but not on the, not through any fault of the album itself.
Okay.
Every time that I thought this needs to be done, it was about done.
Okay.
But then again, we are coming off of like some long albums.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean Max has got to get you 15 tracks.
Yeah.
Whether you need it or not.
That's
and they're all
true.
Gonna be kinda long. Okay. Next track, another acronym.
ADD featuring Casey Chaos.
Into this open, you guys. I'm into this. Now, we do get into this sort of jangly boy imitation Westmoreland sound right here. That's what I kind of got from this. And then I never thought I'd encounter Vanilla Ice attempting to do a sensual chino.
I was like, is this?
And yet, here we are. But this has got a really good drop. It's got a really good drop. Well, relatively speaking, but it's got a good drop. But you just have to, you know,
kind of coming back to our it takes too long for everything.
It does take too long because it's got that hot open, but then, you know, we got this and Vanilla Ice, because he's a rapper, he's like, I gotta fill these verses with words, you know. He's not you know, yeah, he gives you a lot of words. This song I feel like is a pretty good approximation of a nu metal sound, though, like really kind of nailing it in a lot of ways. He's going to talk about it. He can't fucking be himself.
Wow.
Sing it in here. I'm into this one, you guys. I'm sorry. I'm into this
sound,
one.
God, what is that song that right. sounds like the top of this song? It's like a classic rock song or something.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking
it's
about?
It's right. The moment you said that, I'm like, you're right.
That's the face I was making at Matt was like, it's something else.
Sound?
Yes.
That sort of siren sound? Yeah.
And then it gets higher.
Yeah.
In the song itself.
Well, wait. Isn't this... Hold on. Isn't this...
Does
was this
sample
is this the
something?
One that samples something? Hold on.
No.
No, snafu. No, there's no sound. Okay, I don't know.
But it makes that noise, and then it makes the other noise, and then it gets higher two more times
you're
in
that
right. song, I think.
Yeah, you're right. I like this one. I think Casey Chaos, we didn't get to it, but he's got a part in the second verse that's pretty killer. I mean, I like this one. I mean, it's definitely like... It's so funny to say it's not pure nu metal, but it's like, you
it's
know,
not pure.
It's a pretty close approximation, and it hits all the beats. It would almost be like a, you know, almost in like a Weird Al Yankovic sort of parody sort of way, but it still gets most of it right. And you've also got Ross there sort of telling you like, this is how these things work. So I like this one. I like this one.
All right. Up next. We got Stomping Through the Bayou.
Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy.
Keeping it holy means no snatching purses on Sunday.
Now, what was this? Sounds like a guy with like a voice box.
Can I stop through the bayou?
Big riffing on the chorus.
Rather listen to this song than half the other songs on the album.
Well, okay.
I don't know why.
That's interesting.
It sounds like yeah. something that would be on like a Mortal Kombat soundtrack or something.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah, or like this would play when like a guy in an action movie is like gearing up, or he's like
yeah.
hiding from somebody, perhaps in a bayou, perhaps somewhere, you know.
About to get on one of those giant, like, fan boats, whatever those things are called.
A hovercraft?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, that might be something else. But yeah. Okay.
Hello, so- it's me, God. I have a request.
Oh, God. Yes, it's me, Monty Lippman. Anything you want me to do, what are you interested, God?
I'd like to hear the horny song, please.
Oh, well, absolutely.
Thank you. Oh, I love it. Good job, boys.
Oh, you're welcome, God. Crunchy riffs.
I love it.
Yes. Okay.
And I see you getting weak, you're getting real close to reaching that peak, huh? You're like high altitude in a Learjet. You put them hips like the pistons in a Corvette. Slow down or I have to pull you over. Search you, handcuff you, and do a move on you. You get a GWB, it stands for girl with a body. Pump it like a hottie. Seems like you got switches and you're hitting them. Real motion, keep bumping them. Now throw it east to west and put a hump in it. Backstroke and boogie with a bump in it. Show me how you do it like that. How you got stacked, how you scramble like a quarterback. I want you weak at the knees and shaking in your pants. All I wanna do is make you dance. Come on! Come on! Feel it! I'm
Yes, so the horny song is true to its name.
I love it.
We have God here with us in the studio,
well,
the true
hello.
Author of this song.
Well, hello.
I'm God. Look, people don't understand. It's horny means something different in heaven. It's about doing an act of kindness there.
Everybody's horny in heaven.
Oh, yes. Here I come. Here I come to help you shovel your driveway.
I thought God was going to say, here I come, here I come, here I come again. Girls, what's my weakness?
Men. Oh, yes. Men are my weakness. Oh, how I like to lift them up. Anyway, bye. Back to heaven. Thanks for coming, God.
Thanks, God. That was a nice appearance from you. So, a couple things I learned from this song. First, you can get a GWB, which is a girl with a body, which is
gotta get a GWB, bro.
Oh man!
I mean, those completely bodiless women,
dude.
Why are you with that head? Get with someone with a whole body.
Why are you with those GNBs? Those girls no bodies.
Girls with no bodies. Wow.
You got to stop dating that arm and leg and get with a girl that's just a whole head, torso, legs, arms, man.
Hips, curves.
Curves.
Get a girl with the body.
He
is giving a lot of messages quickly.
So let's talk about this chorus.
Okay. There are three words, so.
It's, Jenny, you can start. I'll do one and then you do one.
One line?
Well, I mean, he says it multiple times.
Okay. Here I come.
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 Yes.
Okay.
So that's the chorus. But what we did not do is that we did not sound like we were about to, which is what Vanilla Ice is going for, apparently.
Yeah.
I didn't catch it until my second listen. And I was like, wait, is he like... And then I caught it up at the top. He's making like moaning sounds. So this song, if you go back to the lyrics on top, he says, now that you're feeling it, I see you're getting weak. You're getting real close. You're reaching that peak. So this song takes place mid sexual congress.
Yeah.
So
it's the horny song.
It's the horny song, which I thought was interesting because there's a lot of songs that are just like, hey, like, let's go have sex. And this song's like, it's happening. It's already happening.
In the middle of it.
In the middle of it.
Hold on, I got to record.
Right. And so basically, so it sounds like he's trying to come on both of the courses.
Okay.
But if he's taking any Prozac, it may never happen.
That's true.
So, yeah.
Well, so, all right.
All right.
So that was
the horny song.
That was what God led us to
God's favorite song.
God's favorite song, the horny song.
The horny song.
So sorry, God.
All right.
We come to a bittersweet.
Last song. Oh, wow.
Freestyle.
Like hot dice, like hot nights in Vegas. God save these haters, cause they fucking with the greatest. Nigga, the peel cats with steel gas just like potatoes. Knowing they couldn't break us or take us, now fake us, take us out. No doubt, they'll serve their ass with the tech.
Yeah, so this is basically more of like a rap song. Like, really, it's rap rock with like
a big... Who's on this right now?
It's Psycho of Insane Poetry, 2Hype, and C-Note.
They all wash ice.
Of course.
But everybody's trying super hard, and it sounds like they're having a great time.
All right. I want to say a couple things here.
Okay, sure.
One is I forgot to mention that I'm drinking a very special Vanilla Ice themed drink.
Yes.
Which is vanilla Stoli and ginger ale. It's not that good, but it's fine, and that's how I feel about this album.
Yeah.
Cheap, mm-hmm. Like the meat and greet. it's all right.
Gets the job done.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it was, yeah, I did my three listens, never was really like upset, and a couple pleasant surprises on it, mainly in ADD, but yeah, you know, I mean, not going in the can.
No. And the other thing I was thinking is that Fred Durst is a better rapper. At least insofar as I believe him more.
Okay.
So I know. Catch your breath, guys.
Oh, wow.
I'm on Fred Durst's side here. But definitely not going in the canon. Matt, any argument there?
Oh my God, no.
I am glad we listened to it, though. It wasn't as bad as I thought it would be.
No. I think that's the thing I hit kind of halfway through, is that it was like, it was more intentional than sloppy and makeshift.
Yeah, but I think that's all Ross.
Yeah.
All Ross, and the fact that he was like, he got an actual, like, let's ask this question. So he got Amen to basically write this album.
Yeah.
So what would this album have sounded like if they had Ross, but he had to like just get a bunch of like session musicians in there? I mean, I feel like that would have been a true catastrophe.
Do you think he would have done well? Probably with the Freighter of Cash.
The Freighter of Cash. I think it was just, like I said, I believe it's a timing thing. He was in the studio with him, and if he hadn't been in the studio, maybe he would have had to branch out. I mean, maybe he could have called in other people, but I mean, I think that would also attribute to the fact that the music is as solid as it is because it was being played by a band that worked together. And also that knew Ross, that was friends with Ross. Because Ross did, I think, multiple albums with Amen. So, like, they were buddies. So,
could have done it with a different mix.
Yeah.
But, oh, well.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
maybe that was part of the, you know, maybe Ross got to keep more cash.
Extra points.
Extra points,
baby.
There you go. So that is that's the episode. not going in the canon.
Sorry, Vanilla Ice.
Sorry, Vanilla Ice.
I'm sure he cares.
Not at all.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, Rob.
Thanks so much for listening. Please say hello on Facebook, Roach Coach on Facebook, at Roach Coach on Twitter. Send us an email, roachcoachpodcast@gmail.com. Jenny, thank you.
Lauren, thank you. Matt.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
All right. We'll see you again soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.